Did you know that your gut is directly connected to your brain and can contribute to anxiety, stress, and depression, which, by the way, can also impact your sexual health? So here's my secret weapon for gut health, Just Thrive Probiotic. Now listen up. Just Thrive isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is the only one that survives your stomach acid and reaches your gut 100% alive. All those others, the ones that come in fancy drinks or you gotta refrigerate, nope, that's not even a thing. This is the one. I've noticed significant changes to my overall health. Like, this might be TMI, but I'm way more regular and my skin is glowing. Think of Just Thrive like your personal gut gardener. It maintains the health of your gut by weeding out the bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and then replenishes the good, making it a total game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, even your mood and sexual health. And if you want to check out my episode with Just Thrive's founder, Tina Anderson, we talk all about how gut bacteria plays a crucial role in your overall happiness, including your sex life. Because a healthy, balanced gut means less stress and more energy. So if you want to check it out, I'm offering a deal for my listeners. You can save 20% off site-wide at justthrivehealth.com with the promo code SEXWITHEMILY. That's 20% off on the probiotic that's truly changing lives and making waves in the wellness community. Everyone's talking about it. Don't just take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Go to justthrivehealth.com. Use promo code SEXWITHEMILY for 20% off.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to this episode of Sex with Emily. You're going to love tonight's show. But before we begin on our journey here tonight, one of the reasons you're able to listen to us for free is because of the incredible people at goodvibes.com. They carry all the best sex toy brands. Like, I'm obsessed with the new Vibratex Dahlia. They also make the Rabbit Habit. If you have one of those old rabbits from 10 years ago, you have to see this new one. It's amazing. They also have my new favorite, the Wee Vibe Tango, and lots of stuff there. And they only have the good products. Don't go anywhere else because, honestly, like, they pick out the best so you don't even have to do it. They try them all. I try them all so you don't have to. Go to sexwithemily.com. Click on the Good Vibrations banner to see my favorite toys. Use coupon code Emily. That's at Good Vibes. Go to my website, sexwithemily.com. Click on the banner.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's
got
to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com. But you can check out all of our podcasts. You should actually just go to iTunes and subscribe. So easy that way. But what you really have to do, ASAP, sign up for my mailing list because it's awesome. And I just got to say, I don't brag about, you know, I'm really good at this or that. I know I have some faults, but for some reason, everyone lately was like, hey, I love your emails. Like people I don't even know, like random at this show, trade show, like, I love your emails. So apparently I give good emails. So check that out. I give good email. I really do. You know, everyone needs their skill in life. And that's one of mine. I'm here with Anderson. Anderson, are you paying attention?
Yes, hi.
It doesn't matter. I just want to say hi to you. But we just have a special guest that just walked in, and which is amazing because we're starting a little later.
How come these headphones don't work?
I don't know. See, welcome to my world.
Hey.
I'm in your seat. You're in my seat. This is Mike Catherwood.
Yeah, hey. What's happening?
This is so perfect that you just dropped in because we're starting later than we thought.
No, that works.
Yeah. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
Okay, so this
I'm glad
is
you started later. I mean, I don't want you to be
it's
late.
It's been
but
a long. It's been a crazy day.
Yes, I'm
and
sure
glad
it has.
You're here. Maybe you could just talk the whole time and like do like Rudy or something. Talk about your sex life. Tell masturbation stories.
I beat off last night for the first time in a long time.
Okay, for you, a long time is?
Well, now it's like a legitimate long time, like 4 or 5 days.
Oh, really? So yeah. It really is?
Yeah.
Because you're not like the guy who called into Loveline or who does it when the child's awake.
No.
Do you remember that call?
No.
The woman was complaining about her husband?
I would do it when my child's awake, but she would have to be with my wife. She would have to be with my wife in the other room.
Exactly.
In fact, in the other side of the house.
No, like, right. No, you're a good man like that. I get it. So it's been 4 or 5 days. Wow. So was it a good one? Would you?
Yeah. It was massive.
What did you masturbate? Can I just, Mike Catherwood?
Yes.
But people, not everyone knows you. I mean,
no, in fact,
famous.
I would say by far the majority of people don't know me.
Mike Catherwood is the co-host of Loveline, which is everyone I talk about on the show all the time. Long running, you know, 31 years on the air. Loveline, Mike's been the host probably for the best years, the last 3 years, Dr. Drew, and I am honored.
In the opinions of most, I am the host of the second best era of Loveline behind Corolla.
Oh, Corolla. Yeah,
Corolla's the master.
But I think you are and I'm not just saying this, like, I just really, like, you're good. You're good. I laugh. Like, I truly, like, you're very good at what you do.
Well, thank you. That means a lot to me.
And I've never, just been sitting here in my room, in a room alone all these years. Like, I've never worked with anyone, you know?
It's a big difference. I tried to do podcasts by myself, and it's a whole different beast.
It's a whole different thing.
Yeah, like, yeah.
And I'm much better going off, so I think sometimes, you know.
I think anyone is.
Tonight I was going to answer. Yeah, true.
I think it's either there's something wrong with you, or you are like a weird, you must be some type of strange genius if you prefer to do broadcasting alone.
Right. Just alone or with callers. What about like the doctor?
Yeah,
but
I don't think I don't think that constitutes as alone. I'm talking about like these guys. Some guys do podcasts, and I don't know if there's women that do it, but I know a couple comedians.
Like who? Any that are good?
Yeah. Bill Burr's pretty good. Bill Burr's pretty darn good at doing a podcast, and he just most of the time just talks.
About
just fires up a mic and just goes.
And it's not planned?
Doesn't seem like it. I mean,
I
think he has bullet points like of like stuff he wants to touch on, but it doesn't. He certainly is not like he's not doing his stand up. You know what I'm saying? He's not he doesn't have an act.
Right.
And I find that to be far more difficult.
Far more challenging. If you get up and like or even be a stand up, right? Deliver material.
Well, it's a whole different beast. I mean, there's a lot of similarities to a great radio personality and a great stand-up, but it's really a different mind frame.
It is different because we always have someone to like, you got to find the good chemistry with someone to help. So if I can just be like, hey, Anderson, usually he's like sleeping, but I'll try to talk to him in the middle of the show if he's not here.
Well, and a great stand-up really needs to control the momentum and the audience's attention all the time.
Right.
A great host actually has to do that in a very limited capacity. If you're a really good radio host, you have to know when to divert attention.
Right.
I mean, because you certainly can't interview people if you're trying to constantly work in jokes. It's got to be more about
exactly. That's the give and take. And I think you also have to have a good sense of like I always feel like when I'm bored, like my audience bored, or when I don't get it, you know what I mean? Like I can kind of, and I think I move it. Can move it along.
Yeah.
Like, if you, it's a conversation.
I worry about that because I oftentimes, because Loveline.
But you do it too.
Well, Loveline's late at night.
You can sense the audience. It's like what you're saying. It's the same thing. You can kind of like read what people, you know.
I think I can. I don't know if I'm successful at it, but I certainly get a sense that, man, if I'm, you know, the person listening to this radio show right now is not getting their money's worth. Or sometimes, even though it's utter silence in the studio, I'm like, I'm crushing right now.
Right now,
I'm on fire.
Right, you know? You can just tell. You can feel it.
Yeah,
exactly. I used to do that at tonight was just going to be Anderson. And I were going. You know, I've had so many guests, so many goddamn porn stars in here. I love the porn stars.
Yeah.
But a lot of them, like I've gone in phases. I've been doing this for 8 years, and I've had the porn star shows. I've had the guests all the time, and then I had no guests for like 3 years, just like reading emails. And
oh, that long? There was like it was just
yeah,
kind
no,
of,
like every maybe once every few months, but it wasn't guests at all. It was me and Menace in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. He was there most of the time, he's awesome, and we'd read emails, and I'd talk and have a topic, and it was so much easier, too, so much less stress, I think, sometimes having it, and we could go back and forth and answer, I think people, like, listen because they really want sex advice, you know, they don't want to just, I don't know, I feel like I'm just having, like.
Well, the great part about you when you give advice about sex and relationships is that it's very authentic, and that is a hard commodity to find. In that field, because most of it's, I don't want to say it has an agenda, but when you read like a woman's interest magazine, that's not unfiltered sex advice. That's kind of sex advice that comes from the mind of someone who's trying to make a palatable article.
Right.
And I don't mean that as an insult. It's just, it's not really designed to be helpful advice.
Right.
It's designed to be a good read.
So
it's
I can like break it down in a way that people can understand.
Couples therapy on VH1. That's, I mean, its number one goal is to be an entertaining show, not to be good therapy.
Right.
Exactly. Now, I'm not saying it's bad therapy, but my point is that when you're getting advice or therapy or self-help or anything from a commodity from a marketable commodity.
Right.
Its number one job is to be entertaining and enjoyable, not to be therapeutic.
Right.
Or helpful.
Like,
you know,
if I was sitting here, like, yeah, like talking about, you know, in much more, you know, my academic way, people fall asleep. They wouldn't care. So
sure,
you got to make
sure.
it entertaining, informative, so people can learn.
Well, and you're the best part, which you don't ever see in women, is that you're an open book. I mean, there's like Anderson and I were talking about it. I think I told you that on the air last week that, like, you couldn't fake being you. There's no fake Emily Morse. Like,
right.
if you wanted to be a fraud and like an like just this put on, it would be impossible for you to do that. There's no way that your personality is
different than, like, if I came over your house for lunch and you
well, it's just impossible.
Right.
Like, the way you are, the person you are. It is impossible for that to be contrived. It's just too frenetic. It's too, like, it's just too unique and, like, unfilled, you know? It's too raw. There's no possibility that it's...
See, and I feel like I've held back, like, maybe I should reveal more, but you just mean...
No, because there's a fine line. And,
no,
you know,
there is.
There's
I,
a fine
when I started
line
my show, I was like, do I tell everything? Do I
yeah.
not? Now, there's... It is a fine line.
Drew and I's friend, Jason Ellis, I think you met him.
Yeah.
He's the master at that because I think when he started his radio show... He was so open. He was such an open book that it got to the point where he became an exhibitionist. You know, it's like,
right.
I'm going to go so far in the I'm going to expose myself to, that it then it got to the point where he was an ex. And it's a fine line. Now he's toned it. He's gotten so
he's
good at, like, being very vulnerable and open about certain things, but understanding when to pull it back.
I have to I have to listen. I've never heard his show, which I don't consume a lot of other media, actually, which is on the list of things to do. But I liked, I mean, it's true. Like, even when I started my show, I was thinking, God, at the beginning, like, I was worried so much about the litmus test of the right, how to know how much to, and then I'm like, well, if I talk about who I slept with last night, then the girl, then I got to keep raising the bar. Oh, last night I slept with this guy. I'm not going to share that much, but, you know, and now it's just, yeah, I'm just who I am, who I am.
Yeah. It's but weird,
so
too, because, like, I
yeah.
I've given up on that.
On what?
On, like, wondering whether I'm sharing too much.
No, this
because...
is, like, this is my first, like, lot.
Yeah.
Now I'm, like, like you were saying, it's funny that you say that. Like, no one else could be, like, authentic, but I feel that way about you, and that's why, right?
Yeah.
Do you think, no? You think you're not? Like, are you different when you're, I don't know.
No, I definitely think there's a, I look, everybody is turned up a notch when they're on the air. There's no,
right, for
not,
sure.
Not,
in fact, people tell me
I
sound better on the air. They're like, you really sound like you like, I remember my ex-boyfriend, the first time I was on the air in San Francisco, he called into the, after he heard it, mm-hmm. and he was like, you're much more articulate. You finish your sentences. Or get on the radio. Like, I think sometimes, like,
yeah.
I'm better when you hang out with me. Like,
well, I'm happier.
Stutter or something.
I'm happier when I'm on the air.
Me too. Yeah. And then I leave here. I'm like, oh, then it's like coming down the whole time.
So, I mean, I think that makes me a little bit more likable is that, you know, when I'm on the air, I'm happier. So,
I think so too. What is it that, okay, I don't want the show, we have to go back to what you were masturbating to.
You're
your
doing, because you're doing what you're passionate about.
Right,
I mean,
exactly.
It's very, and I'm not one of these guys that, like, hey man, find what you're passionate about. And no, because sometimes you're 5'4" and white and you're passionate about basketball. So I'm not from the school where it's like always follow your passion. That's it. No, sometimes you need to have your passion as a hobby and you follow what's reasonable
exactly.
and practical.
Work for
but
live to work or work to live.
When your skill sets and your, like, way of life aligns with what you're passionate about, that's a damn good reason to be very happy.
Right?
You know, and
yeah.
I feel like you and I are two people who do that. You
we
know
get to do it. You're right. And that will actually, oh God, I'm gonna tell you this first, and then I have to go back to something I was gonna tell you about your Mini Cooper commercial and Mini Cooper. So I always thought, and this is my thing, a lot of women, men, but they graduate from college or wherever and they think, I'm going to find, my goal in life is to find the one, to find a partner to complete me and to, you know, have a life and get married and have children. And
I
for
was
me,
I was on the phone when I was
yeah?
walking in here. I was talking to my ex-girlfriend who was having like a midlife.
A meltdown, like, oh my God, I haven't met anyone yet.
I need to stop trying to find the one because... It's just mind numbing.
Exactly.
You know?
It is when you're focused on that. Mm-hmm. It's true. Well, dating is a whole lot. Yeah, when you put out the debt, if she's desperate or if she's frustrated, whatever it is. But
she's frustrated. She's
but
not desperate.
But the point, why? Yeah. But you know what I'm saying? Like, there's just, so my thing was, I have to find what I'm passionate about. It was never about, it was because my mom drilled into me that you have to never rely on a man to take care of you. So I figured, and my dad hated his job as a lawyer. So I figured, okay, I don't want to hate my job. I have to find my passion. So I kept working and working, like in politics and all these different places. Until I was on the radio, and at first I didn't even know. Like, it was like I was documenting and did the podcast the first night, and then I got a radio show. I was like in the studio, and I was like, "This is it." I felt the first time I was on the radio was how I think it must feel when you fall in love and you think that you found the one.
Yeah,
because I cared so much about The Passion.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that.
I don't
that.
Know. Like, that was, like, how I was oriented. I've never done a show like this in my life. I'm just talking about, like, my therapy. My way of getting to a place is funny. But, Mike, on the way over here, I heard a Mini Cooper commercial with you.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I thought it was funny because a lot of people don't know that Mike, he has dichmorphia. Like, I think a lot of men do. And I'm going to blame it on porn. Like, everyone blames everything on porn. Like, they're like, oh, my God, the traffic lights out must be porn. I mean,
it doesn't help.
But I think that men have seen so many penises now, and women with their vaginas, women are getting labioplasty, you know, with incredible numbers. But I think the fact that guys are seeing these huge cocks and they're like, I can't measure up. And you might have already had this thing about – so he always talked about how he has a small penis.
Yeah.
And, like, I just don't believe it. And when we've been on Loveline, I'm like, we want people to call in. Like, one woman, like, you, like, tortured her with her desk, like an intern or something with their penis. But I just think that, yeah, it's like the dichmorphia thing. So anyway, I thought – and then Michael just got a new Mini Cooper. He's one of his sponsors. I have a Mini Cooper, too. They did not give it to me, though. and I thought, that's so funny because you're always making jokes like the guy in the Porsche probably has a small penis. But he has a Mini. So actually people might think you have a large penis.
Yeah, but I
– it works opposite because they're like, no guy with a small penis.
I have a Mini Cooper, and I love that car. I really do. I'm not just saying that.
I know, it's awesome, but I thought we never
that was given to me. The cars that I purchased are all the biggest, most overwhelming horsepower fucking
That's why
gas guzzling, ridiculous, you know, small dick cars. So.
I know. No, what I'm saying is, though, I get it. You didn't pick it, but it was funny in my mind, the mini.
I know.
I just wanted to share that with you. Okay, so you hadn't ejaculated in 4 days.
Yeah.
And tell me what you chose to watch.
I watched.
And where did you, is it on your iPad?
Yeah, on my iPhone.
iPhone, okay.
Yeah.
The 6? Did you get the new one?
No, just this one, whatever this one is. I'm like really a Luddite.
The 6 that came out yesterday.
No, I didn't get that one. No.
Okay, go ahead. So you go where? Where's your wife?
I went to to like the guest bathroom.
The guest bathroom.
Not the.
Okay,
the,
and your wife's with the baby? The baby's sleeping?
No, the baby is the baby's asleep.
Mike has a new baby.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
She's
six months.
Yeah,
a little under 6 months, yeah.
Okay.
She's in her crib in her bedroom.
Okay.
My wife's in our bedroom. And so we have a bathroom attached to our bedroom, but I opted to go to the bathroom like in the house.
Now,
so,
does she know? Is your wife like, oh, Mike's going to the other bathroom?
No, I mean, I think she would, except for two reasons. I don't think she has any clue. One, it was like 4 a.m. My wife's dead asleep. She's so tired from the baby constantly waking up.
Okay, yeah.
So she
thought it was like 5 minutes ago before you got here.
No.
It was last night. Okay.
It was like 4 a.m. So, I use that bathroom so much because that's the bathroom I shit in.
Okay, got it.
Because I don't want to shit in the bathroom near our bedroom to like.
That's kind.
Yeah.
Right.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's sweet. So you went back there with your phone.
Yeah.
That's all you need.
Yeah.
And then you sit in the toilet. I just want to understand the whole thing. Okay, sit in the toilet. Are you like going to bed?
I put the seat down. Not the seat. I put the seat cover down. And I sit on the toilet like an actual chair.
Okay, but do you ever put a towel down? Because it's kind of cold, isn't it?
No, well, this is what I do. I sit there, and then I scroll through like YouPorn or SpankWire till I find a scene I like.
SpankWire, I love it, yeah.
Till I find a scene I like. Then I start watching it and then put the turn around, take my pants off, and put the seat back up so that I can shoot a load into the toilet.
But are you standing then, so it goes right into the toilet?
I always jerk off standing. Always.
Do most guys jerk off standing?
No, I found most guys jerk off.
I would like
off.
To know. I
guess most guys jerk off lying down. From what I've heard.
But it's so much more efficient just to do it in the toilet.
I tried once after Jim Jefferies, the comedian, was on here. He said, you don't understand what you're missing out on. It's like so much more comfortable.
It is more comfortable.
And I've spent my entire life jacking off standing
in the bathroom?
Yep. Mostly.
Okay, but what about if you're in bed at night? You get up. Back up. How did we not know that? Does everyone know this about you?
I've said it on the air. Yeah, talk about it.
Other airs.
On
Loveline.
On Loveline. Yeah, you're never on your show. Sorry.
Okay, so back up. So you're in bed even tired. But you're like, I would imagine.
That's exactly what happened this last instance was I was kind of racing. I had a racing mind, but I really wanted to go to sleep. I was tired, but I wasn't sleepy.
Right.
And I was like, I bet you jerking off will help me go to sleep. And so I got up, went to the bathroom, and jerked off.
So it just can't work for you lying down. So
I just can't.
Do you think
it's
because growing up in your home, like you could probably only do it in the bathroom, your brothers, sisters?
That's totally the reason. I think. Look, the first 2,000 loads I shot, I was standing up. So I just
exactly
kinda, you know.
No. And a lot of people get into their patterns. That's why a lot of men, I think, ejaculate quickly too, is because they're so afraid someone's going to come in. You learn men learn. So okay, so then you searched YouPorn, SpankWire. When you said you found something that interested you. What was it? Say you might also like Amazon because it knows what you liked last time.
Yeah. Well, no. What it does do, what those tube sites do, though, do
you
is
to watch
that
more porn.
If I watched, like, say, well, I ended up watching Sasha Gray. She's one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah.
You know, she's in my top.
She was on my show.
She's in my top five, I would say.
Sasha Gray, yeah. Right.
So I ended up watching, like, a scene where it was her and another young lady who I'd never seen doubling down on a gentleman. And what they will do is, like, if you're watching a scene with Sasha Gray, if you go down, it'll, like, from that scene, it'll recommend others. So, like, there'll be 10 other scenes below that'll say, like, it, you know, try right. this. And it'll be, like, either the stars that are in that scene you're watching or, like, the theme. Like, right. if you put in Sasha Gray anal, it'll give you a couple Sasha Gray. It'll also give you a couple anal. It'll also give you, like, a couple, you know.
Okay, got it.
So it tries to play off the themes of the tags of whatever scene you're watching.
I got it. Okay, so tell me, because I actually had a study here about porn. I didn't get into any of my, which I love that you're here because today was crazy, but there was a whole thing here about porn and statistics and what people watch. But we need to finish our story. So what did you? It was her and
much
two
like
girls and a guy.
Much like with women and my taste in women and my sexual partners in the past, I'm not like discerning. I don't have like I'm not into like just big butts or just anal or just group sex or like
you
I'm pretty
you open. You're
yeah.
Flexible. A lot of different things
I just like on. I just like sex with girls. Like I mean I'm pretty.
But you like more ethnic. Larger.
If
you wouldn't look at like if I was in porn, I wouldn't turn you on.
No, that's not true because you're like aesthetically you're very much my type. Like darker hair, darker features.
Right.
More
but I,
more
I'm not
like
okay.
No, but you're like
I'm like a spinner.
Yes, you are. But you mean because you're thinner?
No. Oh, I don't know. Yeah, short thin.
You're small.
Know.
You're smaller than the average girl I would be into. Like mm-hmm. most women I'm with are actually either taller than me or close to it.
Right.
But. Like the girl I was talking to, the girl I was in a relationship with, she was like 5'2". So I mean, I'm definitely.
Right. So okay.
I'm not like I said.
And you did masturbate to me once at least.
Yes.
You told me, which made me feel it was
yeah.
a compliment.
Yeah.
And I was also thinking about okay, wait, no, finish this. So because I was thinking today on the show and when I was coming here that it was funny how what okay I'm like what listen to me tonight so I'm not gonna go there okay finish what you watched really I just I.
She was like...
I'll tell you off the air.
Okay.
It's one of those. Yeah.
Okay. I watched this. Like I said, it was Sasha Gray and some other young lady and a gentleman. And
how quick? How long did it take?
I blew a load pretty quickly. Because yeah. like they, you know, like most porn scenes, it starts with oral and then they go to sex and then maybe like anal.
Right.
I already blew my load before they even got to sex. Like it was this just an oral.
Wow. You didn't even finish it. And you won't go back and finish it.
No,
like
fuck no.
Like, it's done. Like, you'll look at another one.
No,
like, so
I actually thought, like, I used to think, like, Corolla was insane because he always talked about how he really needed to, like, be into the scene. Like, not only
that's
was he watching.
That's such a chick thing, though, because women are usually, they're the ones, they want the plot, they want the romance,
well,
they want another relationship.
He assumes it's because he grew up in the 70s, like.
Oh, when that's
where,
all there
like,
was.
Like, you had a movie.
Yeah,
like,
full
a porn.
On.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't have sex until at least, like, 10 minutes in those movies.
Yeah.
Right.
So
exactly.
That's insane to me when guys are like, well, it's babysitter porn. I got to find out if the parents come home. I'm like, you're fucking
I know, exactly. Yeah. Like, right. People are, that's cute. That's like that. Okay, so when we come back, we're going to talk more about, you know, porn and stuff. And actually, there are some stats about what people most search for. But first, I want to thank my sponsors. I am obsessed with my No-No Pro. Usually, as Mike knows, I'm obsessed with certain usually vibrators or like other electronic objects. But the No-No Pro is crazy because you can just remove hair wherever you want in your house. It's a little object. You just run it over your body and then you have no hair for weeks and weeks. It's so much better and so much cheaper than razors and waxing. And it is the best way to remove unwanted hair. And there's no pain. I just like sit on my couch watching TV, like take it off the hair. It's gone.
Sweet.
Dude, I know. Do you want a No-No Pro? It's awesome.
Well,
Anderson wants one for his wife, and I'm trying to
I'll
get...
I'll help you promote it by using it on my balls and cock and stuff.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You'll use it there.
Oh, of course I
okay.
will.
Okay, and then do you hair other places, like back or neck? Or do you don't have that stuff, do you?
In my asshole and balls are the only hair on my body besides my head.
Okay, and so you shave them normally?
Yeah, shave and trim. Yeah, I'm like the pubic patch above it. I'll use the scissors and then my balls and
that's the whole
and
thing. Just use No-No
my
Pro.
Balls and taint. I use
it'll
a
be
razor.
Gone for, okay, good. You will love this No-No Pro. And if you go to nonoemily.com, you can check one out, and you can also get 100% 60-day money back guarantee, a $50 gift card to an award-winning skincare line, and it's like the only thing everyone wants. When all the my guy friends want it, Mike wants one now. You should get one too. nonoemily.com. Also, Fleshlight. The fleshlight, as we know, is a woo, love it. Have you actually used one?
Mm-hmm.
I gave, okay, right, because I gave you for a baby gift.
Yep.
Have you used it?
Yeah.
It the leg strap?
Yeah, but you
okay,
can't,
I'm gonna
but,
say it wrong.
You can't, I know you can. I am not a type of person that will clean it and use it again. I'm a one load, like once
oh,
I blow.
That's why you don't use it regularly, but you have
once
used
I
one.
Blow a load in something, I'm
but
pretty
I gave
much,
you that leg
unless
strap
it's a
that
human
they have
being.
The, right. Right, exactly.
Yeah.
No, I get it. It's hard to get it. But it's not. It comes in a little container. You
no,
clean
the
it
fleshlight's
up
an excellent product.
Did
I'm not just
feel,
saying that.
Did it feel, it feels like having sex.
It's way better than masturbating. Like just with that, with your hand. Right. And that comes from a guy who loves masturbating.
Dude, that's all Mike talks about. And I feel like I knew everything about Mike's masturbation except for the fact now he stands. I can't look at him the same. But anyway, it does. It is better than masturbation. You know, women, we've got 6,000 toys to choose from. You've got one and you might as well try it out before you die, because what if it's like the best sex you ever had and then
true
you're in your deathbed and you're like, holy shit, I never tried this before. So check it out. Go to sexwithemily.com and click on the fleshlight banner and buy a fleshlight there. You will love it. Okay.
Yes.
So what the hell? What were we doing? I'm so glad because I'm like, this show today was insane. And I was like, I have these emails. I'm going to read it and I am going to help you out. I was going to go off on a whole thing. Wait, first porn categories. This is the thing.
You want me to guess? I'll take a guess.
Okay.
Are you talking about America
it's just
or
weird
the world?
It's not, it had a graphic on here that's not coming
yeah
up. But yeah, I'm talking about the most popular search categories
it looks
by
like
women.
The Wi-Fi is being temperamental.
Do you
right
agree?
Now.
Okay,
yes.
I'm having.
So it's
issue
not your fault.
I've been having, that's what we started late, no Wi-Fi. Mm-hmm. Lesbian porn, women mostly search for lesbian porn, with
yeah
gay male porn coming in close second. Predictably, men's top categories favor both ends of the age spectrum, so.
But I bet you MILF is more popular than teen.
Teen and MILF's number one and two.
Yeah.
MILF second. I thought we learned on the show, or some kind of other study came out a few weeks ago, where it was all MILFs. So lesbian porn comes in at sixth on men's list.
Guys are not typically into just girl on girl.
I know.
It's sweet. Don't get me wrong. It's awesome.
Because you want
to
be the...
You want a dick there to kind of like use as point of reference.
Like do you like the gonzo porn where it's like you actually can't see the faces or you don't mind seeing the guys?
I don't mind it for the most part, but I do. I have dabbled in the POV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I feel like people, a lot of guys are like, I don't want to see another guy, another dick. But
I
if
don't
you could
care
kind of pretend you're a dick, that's good. Okay, so surprisingly enough, women are also on the hunt for multi-partner scenarios with threesomes and gangbangs, including in the top five search videos. So, just so you know, people are searching for.
I don't think that that's surprising. I don't find that surprising only in that a lot of porn viewing is escapism. I don't necessarily feel like these women are interested in gangbangs. It's just like, that's so different than your average day. You
exactly
know, that's so different than your average sexual activity. And it's alluring because it's crazy.
Being ravished
yeah
and cherished and can turn a lot of women on. I think a lot of fantasies, especially for women, no, they definitely doesn't mean because you have a fantasy that you want to act it out. It just means that you have a fantasy. But some things, like maybe a threesome or something, because or why women have fantasies about being with so many men, or even like the rape fantasy, which doesn't
yeah
mean you actually want to be raped. It's something about, I think, women always being told that they don't really want sex, or they're not into sex, or they have been socialized until maybe recent generations that you have to make the men have to make the move, and we're not really into it. We don't really want
right
we don't want to seem like we want. So then, like if someone just takes us, then there's so many different psychological explanations about why people have rape fantasies. But also just in the one of just being taken by a man is because I think women want to feel cherished.
And rape fantasies are way awesome compared to rape.
Oh yeah.
You rape know what I'm saying? Like
no one wants to get
no one who looks like the guy in the rape fantasy is doing the raping.
Exactly.
So it's like it
that's
really is like rape
bad
fantasy.
Message. I always hate saying it because I feel like I have to explain it, but it's like she wants to get raped. She wants to be taken because a lot of times I think that women, yeah, we all want to be friggin' cherished and loved.
Right.
And so I think what I was going to come in and say initially on the show tonight was that I was thinking about communication. And I always say one of my things that I say is communication is lubrication.
Yeah.
Right? Because couples have to, I was thinking about the best, people are asking me, I got interviewed today about therapy and what kind of therapy do I follow and what beliefs do I have about couples, and we're having this whole thing and I just thought, you know, because it's been bumming me out lately that I get all these emails from listeners and we hear it all the time that people, and I thought maybe I need to change the way I talk about it on my show because I'm always saying, well, look, just talk to, for example, I'm not even going to read the email in front of me, and I guarantee you that either one of the partners is writing in saying that either her husband or, you know, a husband. Okay, Garrett. Okay, I'm just going to look at the name. I bet you his wife, I bet you he wants to try something crazy in the bedroom and they haven't had sex for 3 years and they have a kid who's two and they don't know what to do about it. Okay?
Okay.
So I would might say to them, you know, I think you guys really need to talk about it. But here's the issue with that is that nobody knows how to communicate. And it's not just that they can't communicate about sex. They're not communicating about anything in their relationship, like as well as they could. And I thought, well, maybe if I explain to people, demonstrate rather than just saying, well, come up with your partner, because if they haven't even told their partner that they're upset that they, you know, spent so much money on the credit card last month, they're certainly not going to say, hey, I've been wanting to try this fantasy. Like, there's communication issues all around, and yeah. we're not taught these skills until we're older, and a lot of people are never even taught them, right?
Well, and I don't think that a lot of people take into consideration sexual stuff even when, like,
until
I don't,
it's a problem.
Like,
until it's
no,
on fire.
No. I don't even think, like, when you talk to couples about communication, I don't even think they factor in the bedroom. Like, I think they automatically think, like, the bills, the
right.
kids, future plans and stuff. Like, they're not even thinking, like, oh, and also what I want in the bedroom.
Exactly. Well, you know? Right. Well, so I'm always telling people you got to communicate about what you want. But what I started to think was that they're not even think that that's the point, is that they might, yeah, and maybe they could communicate about all these other things. But the bedroom thing is that there's no clear picture on how to do it. So to them, saying to their wife, this is what I want to try, is terrifying. Because when you get together with someone, sex is amazing at the beginning. There's nothing to goddamn talk about, right?
Right,
because every time
you're
together, you're having sex, you know, 3-4 times at a time. Every time you see each other, remember that? Like, you know, in the first time you're with someone, and then it's that first time that you're together and you don't have sex. And you're like, okay, it's that part. And it probably happens like 6 months to a year, year and a half into a relationship typically. Don't you think at the beginning you have sex every single time and then it stops?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's weird though.
There's
See,
always
I mean,
that day you're like,
I'm
okay,
such
we
a
did.
Weird guy to ask that because like my relationships are so incredibly erratic as far as the relationships I have to draw reference from. Like it's either like I didn't have sex with her until 6 months in or like what is this the first time we didn't have sex? Like there's girls that I didn't actually do anything else with but have sex.
Right.
And then there's like girls like my wife where I waited so long to have sex with my wife.
Really? Why?
I don't know. It just worked out that way.
Did she put you off or you?
I just kind of just.
You wanted to wait 6 months?
No, not really. I didn't want to wait. It just.
But she was like, let's take it slow? Literally
it was,
6 months.
Yeah, like maybe like three months at least.
Once a week?
I have a really bad gauge of time, unless it happened last week.
Okay.
But it was definitely over 3 months.
That's really
Yeah, it was like 15
impressive.
Days. Yeah.
That's so impressive.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, and it wasn't like a conscious effort, and I don't think she was trying to wait. The big problem was with my wife and I is that she met me on Loveline.
I know.
She was
I
a guest
that.
On Loveline. So she got a whole different impression of me than how I really am, especially in a romantic capacity.
But after she met you, what do you mean? She thought you'd be different, better? Because she met you.
No, she thought I was like some big ladies man. Like I was like totally going to throw on the moves. And so then when we went like two dates and I hadn't even really tried to kiss her, she's like, I wonder what's up with this guy. Like what's he got up his sleeve? Like
right.
Either she said, I just assumed you were banging like five other girls.
Well, which you probably were.
No, not at that time. No, not at all, in fact.
Really?
I
would like a dry spell for like a week or something before you met her? I always assume you were like banging chicks all the time in between your divorce and then
I was. Don't get me wrong. Between my two wives, I had ridiculous
right, so,
experiences.
Right, so what I'm saying is
but there was a like
you
I had
like a dry spell
when
for
I met
a month?
When I met my wife, you got to remember but between me meeting my wife and actually going out on our first date, there was like a year.
Shut up. Why was there a year? Didn't
because
she like,
I had
think
no
you were
idea.
High,
yes, but I had
studio.
No idea she was interested in me. I had no clue.
Did she like tweet you or something?
Yeah, that's exactly what she did.
Shut up.
Yeah.
She did a year later?
And then she emailed Anne too to like let me know that she had a great time and that she wanted to thank us and blah, blah, blah.
So she tweeted you after the Loveline show.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, thanks, you too, or you didn't even respond?
That's exactly what I did. I was like, oh, I really enjoyed having
it. It was like a public tweet.
But you got to understand. That happens 9 out of 10 guests.
Right. Okay.
You know? So I we have a lot of really beautiful girls that come in to promote. They're
yeah.
actresses or models, and
yeah,
they're promoting
he's married
something
to an actress, Bianca Kalik.
Bianca Kalik, yeah,
Kalik.
And
she's famous.
We have a lot of beautiful women come in here to promote. Never in a million years did I assume that any of them wanted anything to do with me. They're here to they're doing
right.
their job. That's
right.
part
but,
of their job.
Right, but you didn't feel like a chemistry right away.
I felt a personal chemistry in that I got along with her very
right.
well.
Right. Okay. Got it. So it took her a year, after the tweet, and she's like, had she been following you? Had she been, like, kind of obsessed with you for a year?
That's what she said, yeah. I didn't know that.
I don't know any of this. She was obsessed with you, like, tracking your tweets or Instagram.
She said the second time I was on filling in for Regis on Live with Regis and Kelly, now Live with Michael and Kelly.
Oh, that was your, like...
She said the second time I did it, she was, like, she, like, had friends over to come watch with her and, like, was, like, into it.
That is so cute. Yeah. So you were there on there for a week, right? And we just can't leave.
I know during that period, that interim period, that year where my wife and I didn't talk or like didn't go on dates.
Right.
I was on Live with Regina Kelly all
she
the time.
Knew
I was
then.
Like filling in all the you know.
Is it on YouTube?
And then I was on Dance with the Stars in that period.
I know. Wait, and that is my favorite period of your life. One of them, because he slept with everyone on Dancing with the Stars.
Mm. Not everybody, but
no, dude,
an alarming
like,
amount.
He didn't sleep with anyone from craft services. I'll give
him. Hold on.
Oh, did you? Who did you say with
no,
all the
just,
dancers?
Just not all. I would just. That, no,
yeah,
I.
Most.
I feel bad saying that because, like.
Right, but they're nice
not
women.
Even most because a lot of those girls are, like, in relationships and stuff. Like, I didn't. I slept,
long
I slept
time
with
ago.
Three dancers.
Right, and a wardrobe specialist. Or
and a wardrobe girl and a producer.
She was measuring your pants.
And a producer.
Anyway. Dude, that was awesome. See, that's why she probably thinks this about you. I don't know. Who knew? Who knew?
Yeah, but she didn't.
I get that.
Yeah.
She didn't know that stuff. Okay, so she was obsessed with you, and then she was like, F it, I'm gonna email that producer and say, Mike, tell Mike I like him. What?
No, she emailed Anne and said, like, I just had a really great time. Please pass along the message to Drew. Here's my number and email, blah, blah, to Drew
but
and
that
Mike.
That was after the show.
That was immediately
but,
after.
Right, but then a year later, how'd she get fired?
Well,
you
no,
again?
We just kept,
she stopped
like,
you on television.
We kept having conversations back and forth on Twitter. But, like, innocuous ones, not, you know,
right,
not
like
romantic.
Once every
yeah,
few
just
weeks.
Be like, I saw you on Craig Ferguson, you need to ditch the shoes. Like joking, I would
right.
say joking stuff.
Right.
And she would, ha ha ha. That, then her co-star, Wendy McLendon Covey, came in to promote Bridesmaids. Wendy's a fabulously talented actress who also was on Rules of Engagement with my wife for many years. She was coming in to promote Bridesmaids maybe 6 months after my wife had first been on. She said, yeah, so you guys have a lot of my co-stars on, you know, Patrick Warburton and yeah. And I was like, yeah, tell Bianca I love her, you know, because I was just joking. Like,
right.
I was like, you know, because she's pretty. And
right.
I was like, you know, and that I, you know, I got a special place in my heart for her. And she goes back to the set and she's like, I was on Loveline last night. The host said to tell you hello and that he wants you. And like, I was like laying on thick jokingly. And she's like, oh, so she tweeted me back and she said Wendy told me that we need to have a little conversation. And I was like, is that what we need to have?
Right.
You know, and then
it
kind of snowballed. Yeah.
Wow.
And then she direct messaged me instead of tweeted me.
Okay.
And then finally she's like, are you going to ask for my number or like, are you just completely inept? And I was like, oh, is that what this is?
Cause, right. Because you still didn't get it. You're like, is she flirting? Is she just reacting and being funny? Because I just said to her co-star.
Yes.
And then you end the date, and then she still wasn't sure because you didn't make out with her for 6 months or whatever.
Correct.
You didn't have sex with her.
I didn't even try to kiss her.
Until when? Did she finally kiss you? You have to try women. You never make the first move, do you?
Nope.
Did she make the first move with the kiss?
Yeah. The first time we kissed?
You guys would still be dating right now and not kissing.
Honestly, I don't remember our first kiss. I think she did. I think she did.
She like leaned out. You don't remember? You gotta remember.
Well, like she does the first everything. She has to.
That's good. At least she knows. One of you
practically... Like her pet. I mean, I'm completely incapable. She has to like be like, Michael, now do this.
See, that's what I need. Like, kind of like your like remind you what to do every day. Kind
oh
of
yeah,
thing,
yeah, yeah.
Like what? Like I think I do need a wife. Like, what do you mean? Like packs your or like tells you don't forget today. You have to
make
oh no,
phone I do
call.
All the cooking.
No, but like
100% cooking.
What kind of things? Like
chores, cooking that stuff. Like how to survive in life.
Yeah,
I take care of.
Okay,
without
so what
question.
What does she take care of for you?
Michael, say goodbye. We're like we'll have and I'll be like reading a book while we have guests over. Like
oh.
I'm
socially.
I'm like barely. I'm like bordering on Asperger's. You know, not
for real. I mean,
well, no,
you
just
can't when you shut down sometimes.
Not that I shut down. I just I get in my own little world. I'm very introspective and to almost to a fault. And so my wife has to be like I remember the first time. For instance, here's a perfect example. When the first time she told me she loved me, she's like, Michael, come here. And it wasn't like, Michael, I love you. I just want you to know something. She's like, Michael, come here. And I'm like, what? She's like, come here. I need to talk to you. I was like, oh, fuck. I was like, what did I do? And so I got like closer and she's like, no, come here. I need to talk to you. And she looked at me and she's like, Michael,
And this is not good for podcasts because I'm miming how she did it. She's like, look in my eyes. She's like, I love you. Does that mean anything? I was like, I love you too. And she's like, okay, good. And she's like, are you listening? I love you. I want you to know that.
Oh,
you know, so it was like,
so she knew,
like,
that
it's like, it was
to...
like talking to a child, you know, in many ways. I'm very adolescent.
Right.
In, that,
in your development as far emotionally. When
I don't have anything instinctive. I wish I did. I'm not saying that I'm not proud of that. I'm not someone who has a lot of natural instinctive ideas or feelings. Everything I have to do, I have to intellectualize. I have to learn it.
Right.
It has to be systematic.
I totally get it.
So,
but what word do you get emotional about? Like, I mean, are you saying that you typically just don't experience as many emotions around a lot of things, or just when it comes to relationships, it's harder for you?
Just
to?
Interpersonal stuff. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm a very caring person. I really do wish everybody, I want everybody to be happy, and I hope everybody. I want everybody to, I mean, I don't like it when people are like, I don't care what people think about me. Like, no, I really would love for everybody to like me. I would like that. I understand sometimes I offend people or I say things that can rub people the wrong way, but I don't like that. I don't want to make people angry.
Right. No, it's because I get it. Like, I feel like sometimes I shut down about things.
Right.
It's hard to.
But at the same time, like, some people. Like Kimmel's a perfect example. Jimmy Kimmel's a perfect example. And I'm not saying that as it like – I don't mean to say it as to make it sound like, oh, we're best buddies.
Right.
But Jimmy Kimmel, for those of you who don't know, he started his career as a radio personality here at K-Rock where I – and he worked at Kevin and Bean just like I did. And so he's in this family and we've crossed paths and I know him. He knows me. But not in any way – we're not buddies.
Right.
But everyone who knows Jimmy, most notably Adam, who they're like best buddies.
Okay.
You got to understand, like, it's so natural for him to be, like, a likable, jovial person. And he gets, like, introducing people, and he can be the life of the party, and not in, like, a campy way.
Right.
It's very instinctive to
him.
It's
who he is.
He, as a person, is very affable and very good with people. And that aspect of me is bad. I just never developed it.
Socially, know you get uncomfortable or awkward.
I spent 90% of my life until I was 18 years old in my bedroom. You know, like, I just did. If I wasn't at, like, sport practice, whatever sport team.
Were you masturbating until you were 18 in the bedroom?
Oh, fuck yeah. Right. I masturbated a lot growing up. You
know? So what were you doing in your bedroom?
Mike's
sober now, just so you don't know his history, but he's been sober for
12 years.
12 years.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's
numbing.
Yeah,
and then
even
you learn
even as an addict, even as an alcoholic, I was not a very social user. I was very reclusive. You know, I loved that was my favorite thing in the world. Everybody talks about like, man, do you miss partying and stuff? It's like, well, I wasn't really that much of a partier. There was nothing better in the world to me than an 18-pack, some blow, and cable TV.
But what would you – so you just sit there and watch TV.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of friends who are addicts, and some were the life of the party, and some were like, no, I just – at the end, I was just doing blow at
home
all
day. That
was
like a dream come true to me. Like, if I had a couple bucks –
were you at least, like, organizing? I mean, like, you were literally just sat and watched TV.
But
I didn't have
at that point in my life, I didn't have shit to organize. I was 19 with no money, you know?
I know, but wait. So you just did it to, like, kind of numb and just to entertain yourself.
I mean, I would come up with funny ideas or, like, try to write songs. I thought I was going to be, like, some big rock star or something. Or I'd draw pictures. Like, it's very, very content in that, you know, and in my watch a lot of movies. I was really into movies and really into music.
You weren't, like, popular in high school? Or
No, by no means. I had a very strong core network of friends, but it was very limited. I was not, like, I don't mean to make it sound like I was, like, bullied or a dork, but I certainly wasn't, like, people were like, yeah, when I showed up at a party or something. I was not social.
But the point is that your wife was able to recognize what you needed, how she needed to communicate with you.
Yeah, well.
And you say it's like a child, but I totally get it. I'm sort of like a dude in relationships, and I've had very similar scenarios with men being more like taking on more of the feminine role with me and saying, can I be boyfriend, girlfriend?
Sure.
Like, I get it because I'm the same way.
It's funny, and I don't mean to hijack your whole podcast.
Whatever.
But
no, dude, I love it because I
my
was
wife,
really, I'm updated. I'm like,
my wife, through my what I perceive to be my inadequacies, my shortcomings socially, romantically, saw something so special and unique in those inadequacies. What led to me being kind of shy and vulnerable and weird to other girls was what made my wife fall in love with me.
Right, because she loved those things. It was attractive to her. It was sweet. It was, she saw you. It was like, She loved, yeah, she got you. Like, that's what we want, right? All the things that we criticize ourselves for, you just want someone to love you the way you are.
I remember like our second date, you know, she's my wife's a kind of like, not kind of, my wife's like a hippie. Like, she's way into meditation and Eastern medicine and non-traditional therapeutic practices, things like that, Ayurveda and yoga, and it was very into it. She's very spiritual and not just like lip service. She's very devoted to it. And I remember, like, on one of our dates, it was like our second date, I think, she brought out this huge bag of pills to take with her meal.
Vitamins.
Yeah. Not like oxys. No, but they were like herbs and ashwagandha and turmeric, you know, like. And she's like, I take this to, you know, but, you know, and she was kind of embarrassed of it. I wasn't trying to put on. I was like, oh, what's that? Tell me about, like, all that.
You truly are.
And I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. I didn't at the time know what Ayurveda was, which is ancient Indian medicine. And I asked her, what is that? And she told me. And then I said, oh, please explain. And I was sincerely very interested.
Right.
And she said at that moment, because she had been going on so many dates with other guys and stuff, where that was like something she had to like almost hide, you know. And when she did expose it to them, they were so kind of
judgmental,
silently
probably.
Judging
right.
her taking these, you know, like a capsule pill of turmeric.
Right.
It sounds
right.
dumb. She's like, that's when I knew, like, you were different and special, and it was appealing to me.
See,
you know?
Just these little moments.
Yeah,
it's like, so true. I love it because I could totally see guys being like, oh yeah, you're heavy, but you are actually curious about people, and you are actually into health and fitness and all that stuff.
And then that day, that night,
yeah,
I went back to her house, and then I had to come to Loveline. Because, you know, it was a weeknight.
Oh.
And she was eating an orange and taking the peel off. I was like, I wonder if you ate only the outside, would you poop out your insides? Like, does it go vice versa, you know? Because, like...
Right. If you ate an orange peel, would you...
Yeah. And she's like, what? Like, this guy's... What a weird, you know?
You talked about poop. That was how... The first
date. Well, yeah.
On the first date, you talked about poop.
Yeah, because I listen.
Interesting.
Because
Mike talks about poop all the freaking time.
Here's me in a nutshell.
Yeah.
Is I put a lot of effort and focus and thought into stupid stuff.
Right.
Like, I'm not trying to solve the world's problems.
Right.
I'm thinking about, what if you ate the outside of
oranges,
like, really, exclusively?
Like, you weren't trying to,
would
like,
you poop out your insides?
Totally. I love it. Okay, we got to go, apparently. Thanks, Mike Catherwood, for being on the show.
It's always a pleasure.
Follow Michael on everything. Yeah. At
Mike Catherwood, yes.
On both Twitter and
Instagram.
And Instagram. Do that. Thank you for joining us. Thank you, Anderson. And, thanks, everyone, for listening to Sex with Emily. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com. Sex with Emily, and I have to tell you that just today another friend said to me, Emily, I really want to start a website, I want to start a blog, and I don't know how to do it. I'm like, okay, people, how have you not heard of Weebly? It's so easy. People think the internet's like so overwhelming, like you got to spend $20,000 on a website. Weebly gives you the freedom to create a website for whatever you want. Any idea you have, you can implement with a Weebly website, and you don't need any technical skills at all, and you can build a really high quality site. And when I say no technical skills, I'm telling you, you drag and drop. They have lots of modern designs, and they make sure that your website works perfectly on the web and mobile, which is actually really hard to do. They take care of all these things, and you can make it look beautiful and unique. So we all know that making an idea come to life is hard, but making a website for it should be easy. Create your free website today at Weebly.com. That's Weebly.com. Buying a car can be such a stressful experience, but TrueCar is changing car buying forever. TrueCar actually helps car buyers get rid of the fear that they might overpay, and that fear is the worst. Last month, over 45,000 cars were sold by the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network, and TrueCar.com users save an average of $3,046 off MSRP. So when you're ready to buy a car, you just got to follow these three easy steps that if you want to save money. First, go to TrueCar.com and find out what other people paid for the car you're looking for. Then register at TrueCar.com to see upfront pricing information, and then you lock in your savings. Third step, totally simple. All you do is you print out your TrueCar savings certificate, and then you take it to the TrueCar certified dealer for a better hassle-free car buying experience. Who doesn't want that? Some features not available in all states, and every day TrueCar.com users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings. Save time, save money, and never overpay. Why would you do that? Visit TrueCar.com today. That's TrueCar.com.